Chapter 39. "We've got flagellates," Tallon said, staring into the luminescent water.
"Flatulence,"
Corky scowled. "Speak for yourself." Rachel sensed Michael Tallon was in no joking mood.
"I don't know how it could have happened," Tallon said. "But somehow this water contains bioluminescent dinoflagellates."
"Bioluminescent what?" Rachel said.
"Speak English."
"Monocelled plankton capable of oxidizing a luminescent catalyst called luciferin."
"That was English?"
Tallon exhaled and turned to his friend.
"Corky, there any chance the meteorite we pulled out of that hole had living organisms on it?"
Corky burst out laughing.
"Mike, be serious."
"I am serious."
"No chance, Mike, believe me. If NASA had any inkling whatsoever that there were extraterrestrial organisms living on that rock, you can be damn sure they never would have extracted it into the open air."
Tallon looked only partially comforted, his relief apparently clouded by a deeper mystery.
"I can't be for sure without a microscope," Tallon said. "But it looks to me like this is a bioluminescent plankton from the phylum Paraphyta. Its name means fire plant. The Arctic Ocean is filled with it."
Corky shrugged.
"So why'd you ask if they were from space?"
"Because," Tallon said, "the meteorite was buried in glacial ice, fresh water from snowfalls. The water in that hole is glacial melt and has been frozen for 3 centuries. How could ocean creatures get in there?"
Tallon's point brought a long silence. Rachel stood at the edge of the pool and tried to get her mind around what she was looking at. Bioluminescent plankton in the extraction shaft. What does it mean?
"There's got to be a crack somewhere down there," Tallon said. "It's the only explanation. The plankton must have entered the shaft through a fissure in the ice that allowed ocean water to seep in."
Rachel didn't understand.
Seep in? From where?
She recalled her long ice rover ride in from the ocean.
"The coast is a good 2 miles from here."
Both Corky and Tallon gave Rachel an odd look.
"Actually," Corky said, "the ocean is directly underneath us. This slab of ice is floating."
Rachel stared at the two men, feeling utterly perplexed.
"Floating? But we're on a glacier."
"Yes, we're on a glacier," Tallon said, "but we're not over land. Glaciers sometimes flow off a landmass and fan out over water. Because ice is lighter than water, the glacier simply continues to flow, floating out over the ocean like an enormous ice raft. That's the definition of an ice shelf, the floating section of a glacier." He paused. "We're actually almost a mile out to sea at the moment."
Shocked, Rachel instantly became wary. As she adjusted her mental picture of her surroundings, the thought of standing over the Arctic Ocean brought with it a sense of fear. Tallon seemed to sense her uneasiness. He stamped his foot reassuringly on the ice.
"Don't worry. This ice is 300 feet thick, with 200 of those feet floating below the water like an ice cube in a glass. Makes the shelf very stable. You could build a skyscraper on this thing."
Rachel gave a wan nod, not entirely convinced. The misgivings aside, she now understood Tallon's theory about the origins of the plankton.
"He thinks there's a crack that goes all the way down to the ocean, allowing plankton to come up through it into the hole." It was feasible, Rachel decided, and yet it involved a paradox that bothered her.
Nora Manger had been very clear about the integrity of the glacier, having drilled dozens of test cores to confirm its solidity. Rachel looked at Tallon.
"I thought the glacier's perfection was the cornerstone of all the strata dating records. Didn't Dr. Manger say the glacier had no cracks or fissures?"
Corky frowned.
"Looks like the ice queen muffed it."
"Don't say that too loudly," Rachel thought, "or you'll get an ice pick in the back." Tallon stroked his chin as he watched the phosphorescing creatures.
"There's literally no other explanation. There must be a crack. The weight of the ice shelf on top of the ocean must be pushing plankton-rich seawater up into the hole.